Well, let's pray together as we open our heart to the word of the Lord. Father, I just thank you that you are so faithful to meet us here. Lord, may we never take it for granted or take it lightly that the Almighty shows up in this place when we gather in your name. And I pray, Father, that today that you would speak into each heart and life. Lord, give us ears to hear. Help us, Lord, to listen and know that you're speaking to us today, not just someone else. And Father, I pray that through this message today, that our lives forever be changed in some way. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, we live in a time when sometimes it's difficult to know what's real. Even when it's called reality TV, it's not real. But, you know, I've learned a few things from watching TV and movies. Things like anybody can land a plane as long as the control tower will talk them down. In any building, any facility, the air conditioning ducts are a great place to hide. And you can get into any room in any place in that building through the air conditioning ducts. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Every bag of groceries has a loaf of French bread in it. That's right. And almost always when a car crashes, it will burst into flames. I mean, big flames, like it has explosives. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? The Eiffel Tower can be seen from any window in Paris. And if you're staying in a haunted house and you hear strange noises, a woman should go and investigate. I don't know why that gets turned around at my house. I guess it's not haunted, so I get that job. But medieval peasants always had perfect teeth. That's amazing, isn't it? All bombs are fitted with electronic timing devices with large red numbers, so you will know exactly when they're going to go off. And a detective can solve any case once he has been suspended. Yeah? And my favorite, it doesn't matter if you're heavily outnumbered in a fight. Your enemies will wait patiently and attack you one by one as they dance around in a threatening manner. Yeah. The stuff we learn. People say, well, I believe it when I see it, but in the time we live in, even when you see it in pictures and video, so much of the time it's not even real. It's been photoshopped, it's been doctored, it's hard to know what's real and what's not real. There's the fake news now, you know. And the problem is the real news seems pretty fake to me sometimes. It's hard to know the difference between the real news and the fake news, but you just got to trust the Lord to help you, right? There's so much hype about everything nowadays. Everybody says, oh, this is the best, and this is the fastest, this is the smartest, this is the greatest. Everything's hyped up, and it just is hard to know what's real and what's not. And, you know, when it comes to health issues, there's all kinds of products out there, all kinds of treatments, all kinds of diets and supplements and oils and herbs and vitamins. It's endless, right? I know yours are the real thing, right? Well, let me just show you. Now, I have more in the pantry, but this is what she's made me put in the closet. So I was hoping that some of you had some that you could add to what I already have. That's sarcasm, in case you didn't know. And I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're thinking, oh, but I've got the one. You can throw all that away if you take my product. Y'all hadn't heard that scoop? It's been around for a while. But here's the point. How do you know what's really real? And then you get into even bigger things and more serious things. I remember the first time when I was in high school in a biology class, the first time that I ever heard the theory of evolution. And even then, I remember thinking, how do you know what's real and what's not? And then it comes to supernatural things. So much confusion about what's real and what's not. But in a world where there's so much confusion and it's so hard to know what's real and what's not, here's one thing that we should always know, is that our God is real. Amen. He is not a figment of our imagination. He is not a made-up God. He is real. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And then the Lord sends a deliverer named Moses. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house, but he wanted to help his own people. When he was 40 years old, he killed an Egyptian who was mistreating an Israelite. And because of that, he was exiled, and he spent 40 years somewhere out in the wilderness until one day God began to speak to him from a burning bush, and he told him that it was time for him to go back to Egypt and to bring his people out of Egypt. And so this is what Moses says to the Lord, Exodus 3 and 13. It says, Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" You see, in Egypt, they worshiped many, many gods. And all these gods, they all had a name. And so Moses says, when I go back to the children of Israel, what is the name that I should give them? Who is it that I tell them has sent me to them? See, each of the 10 plagues that the Lord sent on the Egyptians, each one of them was a disgrace to one of their Egyptian gods. What he was doing was showing that their gods are not gods at all. They're not real. But he is the one true God. He's real. He says, "I am." Those other gods, they're not gods at all. They're not. But I am. And I tell you, you need to know that your God is real. I am tells us that he is. He declares in Isaiah 44 and 6, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. Beside me there is no God." There's no other gods. I know in this world today, there's still many who think there are other gods. Let me tell you, it's in name only. They're not real. The Lord says himself, "There are no other gods, none beside me." I am. It communicates the transcendence of God, that he is the God of everything. In all times, in all places, in everything, he is God. As I said, in Egypt, they had all these different gods because they wanted to cover all of their bases. And so they had the sun god, and they had the god of the Nile, and the god of their crops. They even had a frog god. But the one who is I am, he is the God of everything. He is the God of the sun and the God of the rain and the God of the crops. He is the God of everything. He's the one and only true God. See, I am is such an imposing statement because he's saying, I am the God of everything. I am whatever you need. I'm telling you, he really is all that we need. He is our source and supply. He is our provider, our protector. He is our deliverer, our redeemer. He's our everything. All-powerful, all-knowing God. Our friend. Everything we need. Now, sometimes when you say that he is everything that we need, people get the idea that that means that he is whoever you want him to be. That's not at all what I said. I said he's everything that you need. I'll never forget driving the church van one time with a bunch of teenagers, and some girl in the back just felt the need to inform me. She says, Mark, Jesus headbangs with us. I want to get that image out of my mind. I'm sorry. I said, oh, really? I said, where did you get that? She said, Jesus is anything we want him to be. And I have to tell you that that attitude, whether verbalized or not, is very prominent, very popular in our culture today, even in church culture. And that is not at all what the Lord said. In fact, if you look at what he said to Moses, the first thing that he says to Moses in verse 14, he says, I am who I am. And I want you to know that if you imagine up a God, make him who you want him to be, it is no more real than the gods that the Egyptians worshiped. He is who he is. I am who I am. That's what the Lord declares. And you can't change God. He says, I, the Lord, change not. You can't make him to be who you want him to be. He is who he is. And I want to tell you this morning, who he is wonderful and all that you will ever need. But do not create a God and imagine a God of your own making. It's not real. No, we need to know the God that is revealed in the Scriptures. We need to know the God who is revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Oh, he's real. The one who is, I am. There is no other. I am also communicates to us of a God who wants an intimate, personal relationship with us. It is his presence in our lives. I am. You see, he is with you. He's there all the time. That's what he was saying to the Israelites, that he was going to be with them. It's what Jesus said, I will be with you always to the end of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we need to know that the I am is with us in all places, at all times. He won't ever forsake us. We talked about it just a few weeks ago. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Always with us in the midst of problems, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of struggle and trouble. Psalm 46 and 1 tells us that our God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help. Very present. He is not just the God of the past or the God of the future. He is the God of the right here and the right now. He is the God of the present. I tell you, before time even began, there was God. He has always been. And he will forever be in eternity. But he declares himself this way, I He doesn't declare himself as the God who was or the God who will be, although he certainly was and he certainly will be, but he declares himself as the God of now. I am. See, a lot of people want to relegate God to the past. He used to do great things, but not anymore. It absolutely amazes me that so often it is so-called believers who do that very thing and say, well, God used to be like this, but now he's changed. All through the Old Testament, God did these things. All through the New Testament, he did these things in the book of Acts. But he doesn't do them anymore. They've changed the God of the Bible. In fact, it's interesting to me how that some people think that God changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. No, he didn't. He's God, and he does not change. Sometimes our perception, our revelation of God is progressive, and we grow and we understand more. But he doesn't change. I've heard people say, oh, well, in the Old Testament, you know, God was mean and judgmental, and, you know, there was wrath. But now in the New Testament, it's all love and mercy, and it's all nice. You know, God is nice now. Read the whole Bible. Because I'm telling you, I read in the Old Testament where God was so loving. He said, I will love you with an everlasting love. That's Old Testament. I read in the Old Testament where God showed mercy again and again and again. And I read in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, where God pours out his wrath. In fact, the Bible says that men hid their faces from the wrath of the Lamb. You know that sweet and kind, tender Lamb? Men will hide their faces from the wrath of the Lamb. God has not changed. You need to know that. To settle so many theological issues, if you just know this, that God does not change. Some say, well, God only did these things, miracles, by the hands of the apostles. Listen, it was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just a man. And they failed to consider Stephen, who was not an apostle. In Acts 6 and 8, it says that Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And they failed to consider Philip, who was not an apostle. It says in Acts 8, 5 and 6, that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. It wasn't Philip doing it. It was the Holy Spirit doing it through him. But you need to understand that all through church history, there have been those who believed that God had not changed and they saw miracles. You need to know that the same God that spoke that day and said, I am, is the same God that we serve. And that he is with us every day of our lives to move and to work in our lives. He is the God of our right now. Sometimes people want to relegate God to the future. They say, well, someday, God is going to do something. Someday, you know, he's going to move. He's going to finally get with the program. Someday, maybe, God will decide that it's time to do something. But until then, we'll all just sit here and wait. I want you to know that there is an appointed time for some things. I mean, the children of Israel were in bondage for 400 years until an appointed time. And certainly in our lives, there are appointed times where God has predetermined that he's going to do a certain thing. But you know, a lot of the time, that's not what we're waiting on. God is waiting for us. He's waiting for somebody to believe him. He's waiting for somebody to expect him to move in our day, in our time, in our life. Y'all getting quiet on me. But I'm telling you, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Hebrews 13 and 8. Such a powerful verse. He doesn't change. In the Old Testament, Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I do not change. Oh, how that settles so many theological issues. You know, we know from the New Testament that none of us can be righteous by trying to keep the law. In fact, it tells us that if you could, then Christ didn't have to die. But he did, because none of us could be righteous by keeping the law. Get this, in the Old Testament, none of them could be righteous by keeping the law. None of them. Listen, the rules didn't change. When they lived under the law, that's why we needed Jesus, because none could be righteous under the law. So you need to understand this. None of them in the Old Testament were righteous before God by keeping the law perfectly. How were they righteous? The Bible tells us that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. In fact, Paul uses that very example for us to understand how we are righteous by faith. I'm just telling you, God has not changed. The revelation is progressive and we understand more now. But I'm just telling you that he doesn't change. Believe that he still is the one who heals us. He still is the one who provides for us, who watches over us and cares for us. I am means that he is. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. You got to believe he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him too, but here's the starting place. You got to believe that he is, not he was. He is. Right now, in your life, he's your fortress, your defender. See, you say, today, you are my peace. Today, you are my portion that satisfies me. Today, you are my victory. Today, you are my redeemer. You need to know that it's today, that it's right now. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end, and he's everything in between. He was and always will be, but he is now. We can't live in the past. You can't go back. So many people say, remember the good old days. You know, the Bible says it's unwise to say such things. In fact, when you were living in the good old days, you didn't think they were so good then. Just think about this. Some of you younger people, if the Lord tarries, you're going to look back one day and you're going to say, these are the good old days. Oh, my. But you just need to understand this. You can't go back. You can't live in the past. And if you try to live in the past, I'm telling you, it'll keep you from what God wants to do right now. I am sure that the children of Israel had a hard time not focusing on the past of 400 years of slavery. How that must have impacted their thinking and the way they lived and every part of their life. That's why they needed to know that God was the God who has showed up today as I am. They needed an I am God, a God of the now that could change everything in their life. And I'm telling you that if there are hurts and disappointments, failures in your past, stop focusing on that and start focusing on I am. He can bring you out of all of that. But you've got to believe that he is big enough, that he is real enough in your life today. Not someday, today. See, the devil always tries to get people either focused on their past or focused on their future to keep them from focusing on God and what God wants to do in their life today. Oh, but someday, God's going to do something. Listen, your time has come. Not for everything. I know that God has plans for you to give you a hope and a future. I know there are things out there in your future if the Lord tarries. But hear me now. It is time for something. Someday, someday, someday this. Listen, what about today? What does God want to do in your life today? Don't miss it. In fact, if you miss today what God wants to do in your life, so often it will keep you from getting to that someday. It doesn't all happen in one step. He has miracles, blessings, challenges, and victories for us today. Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." He says, don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough trouble for today. Now, he wasn't telling us to worry about today, because in this same passage, twice he's already said, do not worry. But what he is saying is that we need to live right now. And the problems, the troubles, what's going on in our life right now, we need to be believing God and expecting God to move and work in our life. It's not all out in the future. No, we need to realize that God wants to do something today. If things were different, if my situation was different, you know, when things work out, when the kids are out of the house, when this, listen, there's always some reason to put off what God wants to do in our life. But we need to realize He is an I am God, and He wants to show up in your life right here, right now, right where you are in your life and your busy schedule, and things aren't perfect and you got this problem at work and that's going on. Right here, right now, God wants to be God in your life and move and work in your life. So often people don't reach their destiny because they were so focused on the destination that they didn't ever take the next step. They didn't ever let God work in their life today. You know, living for the future is like walking towards the horizon. With each step, the horizon moves a little further. You can't live in the future. In fact, listen, what you think is the future, when you get there, you know what it'll be? Today. You can only live in today, only now. I am wants to work in your life today. I've seen people that wanted to be in ministry, who wanted to do great things for God. They had great ideas, great vision, great plans, but they never did anything for God because they were unwilling to do the things that were right before them. Simple things, little things that God put in their path, and they didn't do them because they were waiting on the big thing. Jesus tells a parable of the talents, and He tells us that the one who is faithful in little will be trusted with much. And I'm just telling you, you might consider today unimportant, but on God's calendar, it's not. He's got something for you to do. He also tells us that the servant who did nothing with what was entrusted to him lost even what he had. And I'm telling you that if you don't use your today, your tomorrow is not going to be all that. No, you got to use what you have today. Don't put it off. See, someday, well, we're going to do all those things that we intended to do. Someday we're going to get more dedicated. Someday we're going to get involved in the work of the Lord. Someday we're going to really give to the church and really support the work. Someday we're going to witness for Jesus or go talk to our neighbor finally. Someday. Now. Now is the time. Now is the time to serve the Lord. Now is the time to expect God to show up. You don't know if you have next year. We don't know if we have next month. We don't know if we have tomorrow. We got right now. And we need to make the most of it like people who are serving an almighty God who can do absolutely anything. He's here with us. He wants to be involved in our lives. He wants to help us. He loves us. Sometimes as we're believing God, we need to realize it's not all out there, but sometimes you have to get to the place where you believe you receive. That's what Jesus said, Mark 11:24. What things you soever you desire when you pray and you believe you receive. Believe you receive, you will have them. You got to get to that place in your faith where you're not just, it's out there, but I've got a hold of it. In the Spirit, it's mine. I believe I receive. Can't always be tomorrow, someday. I'm telling you, that never comes. In all places, at all times, He is. Luke 12:16-21, Jesus tells a parable saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." I want to tell you, we need to be eternity-minded in the sense that we should always realize that life is more than eat, drink, and be merry. It's more than just living out our days here. Certainly, we need to be eternity-minded. But if we're going to make a difference in eternity, we need to do it today. You see, if you are eternity-minded, then you'll make the most of every day. Let God move in your life now. Decide that now is the time for you to really be committed to the Lord and really serve the Lord with the whole heart. Decide that now is the time to believe God. Don't wait until it's too late. See, if you want to get involved in a ministry, you want to do something for God, don't leave it all to someday. I'm planning on it. What about now? What does God want to do right here, right now, in your life? That rich man wasted the opportunity that he had, and it was gone. Don't make the mistake of thinking someday, but instead, be rich toward God. Use what you have now for the kingdom. Give yourself to the Lord's work and what God wants to do. And believe that the I Am is still here, just as He was with those Israelites. He is here with us to do miracles in our life, to move and work in our life. Listen, He still wants the world to see that He is God. Right here, right now. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Father, I just thank You that You have not left us out. You have not left us out of Your moving, of Your miracles, of Your working. Oh, but Father, You're alive and well. And in our midst, mighty God, all in all and everything, I am. And Lord, we just acknowledge you. We just give you praise, honor, for you alone are worthy. And I pray today, Father, that those that don't know you would come to a real relationship with you today, a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, for those that have struggled with doubts and confusion and unbelief. I pray, Father, that today the Spirit of grace would draw them, Lord, to truly turn their life over to you. And I pray, Father, for those that have been waiting for someday. I pray that today the Holy Spirit would convict them and cause them to see and know today's the day. Oh, but Father, most of all, may we all know you as the God who is with us, who is moving and working in our lives each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.